Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. Are you ready to report? Are you ready to start talking about what you are doing? Are you ready to actually stand out from the fray of the status quo of basically surrendering to the concept that the only way we can fix our problem is through elections and or the court? Those of you who have been educated on some of the weapons within, or tools that can be used as weapons within the Constitution, such as your First Amendment right of petition, common law grand jury, and the fulcrums that the Constitution gives us. Well, if you don't understand what a fulcrum is, because I get it, there are people that, either forget math or never learned that. Fulcrum is a thing that you use for leverage. You have a lever and a fulcrum, and that fulcrum is what basically you use to hold up that board to a point or bar or whatever you're using as a lever, and you push down on it to lift up something. And as a matter of fact, Aristotle said he could lift the world if he had the pulleys or the ability to create such an apparatus. Anyway, and Aristotle was a bold man. I mean, if you look at what he did, he basically laid out scientific law that survived for hundreds of years until basically Sir Isaac Newton came along. Now, Sir Isaac Newton was how many years? How many years past Aristotle? Look at it, folks. It was 2,000 years. Were people just that complacent? Or was people never challenging and working and trying to prove theories? Because the only way you can prove the failure or the well, what is a better word for it? and whenever I say that, I know I'm going to get a little help, but the help usually comes too late. But the point is that it is challenges that really create, I think, the right environment for us to learn and grow. Because, every child challenges the position that their parents have had, who obtained their position from their parents, who obtained it from their parents, and so forth and so on. I mean, if you look at some of the things that you're being taught by your parents at a very young age, such as, don't run with scissors or what have you, you start realizing that there's been a lot of people before you that learned lessons to help you get a quicker start in life. However, there's this thing, this innate thing within all children, with all humans, that they come to a point where they challenge what they have learned. Now, I have met a few people that just never really challenged. I mean, in some ways, they had maybe, if you want to call it, a little rebellious phase or what have you. The fact of the matter is they never really went against their parents. And that's a special kind of person, because that is a person that doesn't necessarily require firsthand experience in learning a lesson. And some parents go by, the importance of firsthand experiences, that you got to let a child stumble to have them learn that, doing this, walking with something that's blocking your view, you're going to trip, fall, and get hurt. Now, I ask you, what is the better way of parenting? And you don't have to respond, but I want you to think of something. We have parents in heaven, or at least we have a creator that created all, that we basically would consider our spiritual father, who created us spiritually. And I am here to tell you that he could, with his divine power, could easily keep us from stumbling or making any mistakes. But he does not. He lets us, with full agency, do all sorts of things, good and absolutely horrendous. Because if you look at history and how horrendous some people were, it's hard to fathom. I know people that have used history as a reason why not to believe or worship our Father. Our Father in heaven, as Christ referred to him. Now, as you look at how you parent, you got to make your own choices, and you got to come up with a balance, because you are in their life. It's not that our Father in heaven is not in our life. It is not that the Creator isn't evident to us. It is the fact that we have to make these choices. And so, you know, it makes me always go through these conundrums of questioning, you know, am I actually making these choices, or have I been prepared to do certain things? And I don't want you to dismiss this, because I want you to understand something. You already know, I don't talk about these things a lot. I don't talk about myself personally a lot. But you already know that I spent time in the Marine Corps, 20 years. I retired from the Marine Corps. And so I've kind of put it out there that, you know, you learn certain things. And it creates a personality characteristic trait, you know, where you kind of soften up, but you're still a Marine. And it's hard for people to even fathom that. I mean, go through social media this past week, and go through social media throughout the year. You tell me when the birthday of the Navy is. You tell me when the birthday of the Army is, or the birthday of the Air Force. But I'll bet you anything, most people can say they know the birthday of the Marine Corps, or at least when it happens, they recognize, oh, the Marine. Why is it in social media that the only... Maybe it's just me, but I have Army friends, I have Air Force friends, and Navy friends, and I do not see them all piping up saying, hey, happy birthday, Navy. There is a huge, if you do not understand this, there is a huge difference between Marines and every other service. Because Marines, from the beginning of boot camp till the day you walk out, it is tough love. It is tough love. It is you take your lumps, you get what you deserve, and if you didn't learn your lesson this way, we're going to teach again another way. And so there's a reason why there's lots of people that never went into the Marine Corps. And I tell people all the time, the only reason Special Forces exists is because of the Marine Corps. Because all of the other services, they didn't have anything that they could say, wow, look at how tough we are, you know. And how many people have you heard? I think it was Schwarzkopf. I think it was the recently deceased Colin Powell. I think it was a lot of different people. Even Reagan made comments about the Marines. You know, like I think there was a response to the Ayatollah, or maybe it was Hussein, that said something about geography, that, you know, Americans don't even know where Iraq is. And I think it was Colin Powell that said, I'll tell you one thing, the Marines sure know. And I'm paraphrasing. But my point is that you learn a certain characteristic or trait. And when you deal with people and you dismiss the fact that that person's a Marine, then 9 times out of 10, or that person's a Marine, because they're always a Marine. There, go look this up. Once a Marine, always a Marine. There are very few people that went into the Marine Corps that do not claim to be a Marine, because they're so ashamed of either their record or something happened. And so, and my heart goes out to those people. But the fact is, it's an undeniable fact that once a Marine, always a Marine. Now, there's nothing we can do about that, folks. You know, when people go in, they become, you know, I will just say shaped. Their character is formed, if you want to call it indoctrinated, brainwashed, as some of the other services call it. However, if you look, and I'll just give you a good contrast between Air Force and Navy and Marines. And I believe Monterey, actually, I think Monterey is the Army, but it could be Navy. The Monterey Language Linguistic Training School, which is a two-year school that all the services go to, but one of the services is host. And I'm not going to look it up because it's not that important. But the fact is that the only regiment, the only people that go to the, you know, that school out of the Marine Corps, they're the only ones there that don't have to march in formation to get to their class. They aren't the ones that have to be constantly reminded of their discipline. And as a matter of fact, at Air Force schools, the Marines are the only ones that don't have the same, you know, discipline, you know, management issues where they have formations and marching to their classes like a bunch of little kids. And so that speaks volumes of how independent leaders Marines are trained to be. And so anyway, I'm going to finish off with this because I think it bears relevance and maybe understanding me a little bit more as we move forward. But anyway, we've got these two promos. We'll be right back after this. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so back to this thing about Marines and me. I understand. And as a matter of fact, I will challenge you to go read Matthew 24. Because if you read Matthew 24, Christ speaks of the, you know, what things will be like in the last days before he comes again. And he makes a comment that all will be offended. And I'm paraphrasing, but for the most part, it seems like everybody finds offense at the time. You know, in other words, it seems like everybody in the world has lost their ability to take criticism, their, you know, some essence, some fundamental characteristic of being able to have a little thick skin and being able to maybe laugh at themselves and be able to, you know, hear criticism. I can't tell you how we have strangled ourselves with political correctness and our feelings. And so if you understand a Marine, we are not programmed to even think or regard feelings. Now, maybe the new Marine Corps is, but the Marine Corps I came through, and when I retired, and I could see it happening, because this is when, and not that I think that, you know, the bad treatment of women in the Marine Corps was ever an acceptable thing. You'll never find me historically, you know, being mean, cruel to anyone, regardless of their gender or what have you. But the fact of the matter is that we have strangled ourselves with feelings, and we allow ourselves to just live through life bouncing off of everybody with our emotions. And some people are just way too keyed emotionally. Now, when you have people that are keyed, way too keyed emotionally, they need some help. Now, we either have to have that discussion with them, or, you know, sometimes it's good to see a counselor. I personally know people that have seen counselors to deal with their emotions. When men get mad and become abusive, did you know that women are equally, if not more, abusive? Maybe not as, you know, as physical, and may not do the same kind of damage, but actually, maybe their damage is worse, because emotionally scarring and manipulating and those types of things. And these, when you really look historically, these things have always been around. I mean, how long has it been where, you know, a man has been physical in abusing his wife? As a matter of fact, I believe it is in the South. I think it's South Carolina, that they have this thing called the rule of thumb. And the rule of thumb, if you didn't know, was you could take a branch that was no greater than the diameter of your thumb, and you could bring your wife to the, I believe it was the steps of the Capitol or City Hall, or, you know, the seat of government, or the whether that be county or state, and you could thrash your wife publicly by the rule of thumb. Now, that's repugnant. But it's the same thing that how long has it been where, you know, women have connived and have deliberately gotten pregnant by a man to, you know, either force marriage or do something. I mean, shoot, you can go all the way back into the Bible with Lot, where Lot's daughters, thinking that they were the only survivors, got their father drunk and got impregnated. Now, I'm just giving you this history that this goes a long ways back. And as we've started moving forward, you know, some of this stuff, even though it was all wrong, and this is just absolutely, this shouldn't be acceptable behavior in society, from all the way back to Lot or back to South Carolina, none of that behavior is appropriate. But behaving as one is trying to push with love, or behaving as one is trying to help move something through a logjam, then, and let me tell you, folks, how much time do we have? If you want to actually reflect, take your time. But look at where we are. As a matter of fact, there's a Nostradamus prediction that actually looks identical to what Biden is doing and how America and the world are beginning to turn its final turn. And I got to look this quote up. I've got to look this Nostradamus quote up so that I can give it to you. Because if it's actually true, because I don't want to go into the details of it, but if it's actually true, if it's actually something that he wrote, and it actually parallels what we're doing right now, and in his timeline, this is towards the end then I'm here to tell you, folks, as we look at Revelation, because I've already gone through Revelations, and Revelations has told you. Now, Nostradamus, I don't think that he was an ordained person to actually be the person to speak and see the end times. That was given to John. And so that's why John's book was the final book to basically, end the New Testament. Now, fact of the matter is, now that you're looking at a timeline, how much time do you think we have? How much time do we have as a nation to save our Constitution Republic? Or is it too late? Have you given up completely? I haven't. And I truly believe that we're going to have to be bold, and we're going to have to be aggressive. And right now, we're not bold and we're not aggressive. But GR is going to push you. That's what this whole, waste of all this time since the beginning of the show today is. To let you know, I have to be bold, I have to be aggressive, and you have to be equally bold and as aggressive with me. We can't be, mean. We can't be demeaning. We cannot afford to do those types of things. But we have to be bold. We have to push. We have to be aggressive. And we have to call things out. Remember, I truly believe that being nice is what Satan wants us to do. And Christ does not want us to be nice. He wants us to be honest. He wants us to be straight. He wants us to be direct. He doesn't want us to hold our punches, nor was he the example of holding his punches. He understood when he was being threatened and when he was being tested, he knew everything, and which is why he answered the way he did. And so you can see when, you're being baited by somebody or trying to get set up on something, you don't necessarily answer the way that person may be interrogating you or, challenging you. But bottom line is, folks, you have to be bold, you have to hold your ground, and you cannot allow, this concept of mediocrity and, being nice and warm and fuzzy. We can't allow that. We have no time for that. If you believe we have time, then you may want to just start listening to music, because what we're going to offer here and the content we're offering here is to basically equip you, to give you all of the ammo so that you understand why the framers, why certain things happened in this nation the way it did. This is why we're going to go into the Monroe Doctrine. Most people do not even understand the Monroe Doctrine as to how it helped America kind of turn the tables. And I believe it set the tables for America to be the example. Because look at the Monroe Doctrine and then look at all of south of the United States, from Mexico down to the tip of South America. At that point in time, one can actually see the challenges that were faced. I mean, Mexico was about ready to face its own independence. Many of the southern nations below us were beginning to strive for their own independence. And as they did, many of them started taking up our Constitution. The problem was they didn't understand it. The other problem was that they didn't realize the importance of the principles that were within it that they didn't understand, which is why every nation that has taken our Constitution and tried to implement it failed, because the Lord intended that one document to govern all people in one union, that we would all unite on the foundations of liberty. If I'm speaking, if I'm speaking blasphemy, please call me out. But the Constitution for the United States is, there's no doubt in my mind, the Constitution for the United States is our Lord's intent and our Creator's intent of globalism for this growing, complicated series this scene of nations and sovereignty that has just been a facade. Because there has literally been two movements, and we have stifled the movement of liberty by not allowing. Had we allowed, which we were allowing Mexico and Canada. We actually promoted that. We asked them to join the Union. And neither of them wanted it because we had this little dirty thing called slavery. And it was very dirty. And I can't fault them. But we should have pursued them after the Civil War and should have said, now would you join? Anyway, I've ran out of time for this segment. When we come back, I hope to kind of tie everything up so that we can move forward.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and their 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
Okay, so as we start, and as a matter of fact, we've been doing this for a long time. I've been doing this for a long time. And as a matter of fact, I'm not out trying to sell books, and I'm not out trying to get speaker honorariums and building a nice retirement for myself. Conversely, I am spending my retirement in trying to build a movement with all who are willing to unite on the Constitution in demanding full compliance. I've got the NLA. They believe in this, and the NLA is standing up on these same principles. And I love this. The We the People Foundation. Bob, forgive me, I haven't called you yet. Fact of the matter is, as we start looking at where we're going and what we're doing, we're not aggressive and we're not bold enough. I know that a lot of people aren't and haven't been in the Marine Corps or maybe even in the military. That doesn't mean anything. That doesn't mean that you can't do this. It doesn't mean that you are falling short. What it means is we need to challenge you. You know, the Marine Corps, they actually beat you. I mean, I was beaten in my boot camp. And when I got to my first duty station, I was threatened with court-martial because I happened to get married while I was on leave from boot camp to going to my duty school where I was going to learn my military occupational specialty. And they were literally, I was told by the CEO that you have violated the UCMJ. You needed permission to get married. And I go, I did not know. And, you know, this is the old adage, ignorance is no excuse. However, the major basically said that the Marine Corps is going through changes because we have become a voluntary service. And instead of applying the required justice at hand and court-martialing me, I think that because maybe he had a decent opinion of me. I've had many officers pull me in and say, you know, you'd make, as a matter of fact, at boot camp, they tried to send me off to Annapolis to make an officer of me because of, you know, whatever. I was more than qualified to go do that. The reason why, and I'm going to share this little story with you because it's a good anecdotal point to just show you the type of person that I am. I was told by my drill instructors, because you have to have an IQ of a certain level. And so I met that threshold. I'm not saying I'm a brilliant man, but I met the minimum threshold of being able to do that. Every platoon can honorarily send one person to Annapolis on a full ride scholarship. Do you understand what I just said? A full ride scholarship and a guarantee to a commission in the United States Marine Corps as an officer. Okay? And that was put right in my lap, and they said, and as a matter of fact, it was moving forward. It wasn't until I sat in front of the man, the commanding officer of the 2nd Battalion, who was basically a colonel. He wasn't the commanding general of the base, but he was the colonel over our training and over my battalion and so forth in boot camp, is Colonel Stackpole, who became a general right after that position. But it was in an honest conversation where he said, you know, this is a huge sacrifice that you're making. And I said, excuse me, sir. And he goes, well, you can't be married and go to Annapolis. You have to maintain, you know, being single and all of that. And then I mentioned to him, I said, but I joined the Marine Corps to get married. And it was just literally this awkward moment. And he goes, nobody told you that you know, couldn't get married? And I go, no, but I've told my drill instructors that I joined the Marine Corps to get married. I don't know why they didn't tell me. And so, as he said, well, I understand. Is that how you feel now? Because actually, he told me more about what it meant to go to Annapolis and the type of position I would have. And throughout my career in the Marine Corps and so forth, because he says there are lots of officers in the Marine Corps, but there are very few officers in the Marine Corps that are Annapolis officers. And I go, well, okay. You know, it was really sounding good, but the real drive for me was to get married because I was committed, you know, in love with my first wife. And anyway, you know, we look back at our life and say, wow, you know, boy, if that wouldn't have happened, if I would have done this, then where would I have been? I believe the Lord played a hand in every part of this. But my point is that when I was leaving to come back to my platoon, I could see my drill instructors. They were just small, teeny dots on the balcony of the barracks where we were staying, because we had this huge grind, which we call a grinder. It's a huge asphalt area that we all would go out and march, and they have parades on and so forth. So it's pretty big. And as I was walking across the grinder, I could see these guys out on the balcony, you know, and I was walking with my military bearing, you know, like almost like marching, and they were just, yeah, I realized after a certain point that they were yelling, and they were yelling, by the time I started making out what they said, they were yelling at me, just begin. And if you don't know what that means, then just begin means to begin doing bends and thrusts, push-ups, and everything else. And so I kind of played dumb until I got towards it and into the barracks area. And they just said, they used my name, "Just begin." And one of them was ran down to just get in my face. And the thrashing began because they were humiliated with the commanding officer from what I said. And so, I mean, I was only being honest. But anyway, the fact of the matter is that's the Marine Corps. And there's not just a little bit of that of me, but just to show you my commitment, I took the thrashing. I could have easily retracted and caved and surrendered and gone to Annapolis and gone down a completely different path and career. And I would not be probably in the position I am. I would have become a politician in the military, which would have translated me to being a politician in government somehow. Because if you've heard me indict officers, that 9 times out of 10, that's why I just have a broad brush. You have to prove to me as an officer that your intent isn't political. My intent is not political. My intent is as honorable and as noble as possible. It is about individual liberty. And I'm telling you right now, the reason why we go through the Monroe Doctrine and Manifest Destiny was this was a point in time like an awakening in this nation. We had finally turned the corner on the Revolutionary War. We got Britain put in its place. And now we had the ability to start building a nation and preparing a nation to become the seat of government for the world. But instead, we ignored the Monroe Doctrine and the Manifest Destiny with the Civil War and everything beyond. And I've said this before, and I'm going to inject it here. Had Abraham Lincoln allowed, and instead of lying or being ignorant regarding the compact and saying, you know, the southern states can, they absolutely can secede. And they can use whatever reason, because not even whatever reason, they had legitimate reason that there was an economic war being waged unconstitutionally against the South because of slavery. America had got to that point that we couldn't turn a blind eye to this growing, sucking chest wound that we were suffering from called slavery. And so what Lincoln should have done, but he was prepared to do something because he didn't understand. He didn't know. Why didn't he know some of this stuff? Because he didn't read the ratification debates. Nobody did. These things were tucked away and locked in a vault until 1776, or I'm sorry, till 1976, when the University of Wisconsin said, we want to document the history of the ratification debates. They made this big deal about it. And it wasn't until the 80s where they kind of went quiet on, you know, continuing the work. And they continued the work, but it was kind of more of an academic work instead of a historical work for the nation. And this is why they probably sell this stuff. And this is why it has been managed the way it has, because the University of Wisconsin is a liberal bastion. And when they realized what the ratification debates contained, they saw it as a very bad thing for them, because it is a truth bomb on the Constitution, period. More so than the Federalist Papers, more so than any opinion or any other documents out there. It is almost like uncovering the scriptures of Christianity and the New Testament. It is almost like discovering and basically disclosing the truth of Christianity to the world, because it's that big. Anyway, when we come back, we're now ready. We're now set up to begin with the Monroe Doctrine. And this is why this is so important, my friends. This was the turning point of America. And I just want to keep that fresh in your minds. We were now turning this corner and now had the opportunity to become a leading nation in the world.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires two-thirds of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, as I was saying, and I'm going to go by and pass by the obligatories because I think I don't want to do it first off. And you know what? I should at least plug those sponsors, or I should say those who not only are worthy of sponsorship, but, you know, deserve that attention. First off, let me just say this. As you know, the show is also sponsored by republicreview.org. And we are on Rumble. I will be on Rumble tomorrow at 2 o'clock Eastern, and that'll be 11 o'clock Pacific. And we will be discussing questions that people have regarding the Constitution, constitutional organizations, so forth and so on. And so, anywho, you may want to tune in because we're kind of covering with that audience a very similar stuff that I provide here, maybe more at a higher level because it's David Torres's show, and the show is called Tyranny, or Liberty, Not Tyranny, or no, Freedom, Not Tyranny, forgive me, Freedom, Not Tyranny. So if you go into Rumble, look for Freedom, Not Tyranny, and you can tune in tomorrow. Again, it's different content than what I am going to cover here. Now, the other, I'll just say, endorsements that I have, unpaid endorsements, Fortitude Financial Coaching. You heard my conversation. I want to have the same kind of conversation with Ben Carr over AdLocal. So Fortitude Financial Coaching, here is a man who is trying to help you get yourself financially healthy, not only healthy, but wealthy and wise. And so I want you to really consider, you know, are you ready for that? Are you ready to do that? Because I don't know pricing or anything else, but it doesn't hurt to give him a call and find out what that is. I guess maybe that's something I should have, because that's just a fundamental piece of information. But bottom line is, I don't mind people withholding that, because 9 times out of 10, people don't realize the importance of what they're doing and, you know, what the importance of the service they provide. Anywho, you also know about free Constitution classes at constitutioneducation.us. It'd be great to see a party actually start offering that exact same stuff. As a matter of fact, I would love to see Keith Broders brought into a party and actually bring in some, because some of the stuff he offers is great for kids. And some of it's great for adults. You know, like, what word is missing in this line, this sentence of the Constitution? And it forces you to go read and compare and to say, ah, it's this word. Anyway, check it out. ConstitutionEducation.us. Timber Nation, you hear me say a lot of good things. I don't have anything bad to say. As a matter of fact, if you want hardwood quality furnishings, while you can still get them before the, you know, the PC green police, you know, actually says we can no longer cut down a tree, that we'll have to start building furniture out of human beings. Because if you think I'm kidding, remember the carbon control, the carbon elimination that they're really looking to get rid of is you and I. And I'm not kidding. Go read the Georgia Guidestones. The Georgia Guidestones create their fundamental premise that 500 million people is the most that this planet can sustain. And that is all baked in lies. But it is evident when you understand the source that this is a satanic movement that is looking to kill a lot of people. And believe it or not, folks, that's right there in Revelations. Anyway, radiodustcovers.com, radiodustcovers.com, if you're looking to protect your equipment. Anyway, you know about the comment line, so let's just go ahead and move forward because this is really important. Now, I would recommend that you go to the seventh annual address of Congress. It's basically the, what is it that the president does on a yearly address? He does the inaugural address at the beginning of his term, and then there are the annual addresses. There's a formal name for it, and you know, forgive me, but you know what I'm talking about. This is where he goes and addresses Congress. And so, and this is required by the Constitution. He's required to do it. Congress doesn't have to cooperate. If Congress doesn't want to be there, like what happened with Trump, Trump could have just gone to the Senate and done it that way and then provided the recording and then let the juvenile delinquent Nancy Pelosi and the rest of her league of idiots, you know, spout off, you know, in a separate tantrum. And I'm going to tell you that you would have still found a massive parade of media when Nancy Pelosi decided to air that. And I'll bet you anything, they probably, instead of being as civil as they would, if you actually had a camera in that room, that all the Democrats would be throwing tomatoes and eggs at the screen and everything else for the viewing of the president's address. But anyhow, so this was the seventh presidential address. This was just wrapping up his presidency. And so the Monroe Doctrine was declared, and they say in a few paragraphs, but actually it was more than that, in James Monroe's seventh annual message to Congress on December 2nd, 1823. Monroe warned European countries not to interfere in the Western Hemisphere, stating, quote, that the American continents, the Western Hemisphere, are henceforth not to be considered as subjects for future colonization by any European power. He drew the line and said, you're not going to influence these nations anymore. This is what opened the door to liberty in the Western Hemisphere. And this is how we later on completely missed what he did. Now, was it John Quincy Adams' fault? John Quincy Adams and Andrew Jackson? Absolutely. I think that this is, and I never picked this up in my book because I talked about the String of Kings and how Andrew Jackson was really our first king of America. And if you look, I believe Mexico got its independence. It started it in the 1820s, but it actually declared independence in the 1830s, and there was a lot of other independence being declared south of us. And I believe that those two men, starting with, you know, John Quincy Adams, I just don't think we did right. And I think that we should have become a more of an ambassador in trying to help influence these nations to become a part of the United States instead of just throwing them the Constitution and hoping they could make it work. Are you kidding me? Now, making them a state in the United States would have been a great thing because, as we look at it today, it would have taken them probably 40 years. It wouldn't have been an easy task because they would have had to be willing to change their language, their currency, and their paradigms. But it would force that change. And so the real problem that we had that was holding us back, that John Quincy Adams was really fighting at the time, was slavery. He fought it so much that as the president, former president of the United States, he spent the rest of his life in the Senate fighting slavery. Anyway, let me kind of move on here. The Monroe Doctrine became a cornerstone of future U.S. foreign policy. This is why I say the Monroe Doctrine should have been used by Abraham Lincoln to justify going to war with the South and then going to war with all other nations that want in the Western Hemisphere that want to actually, you know, subjugate people into slavery. We would have been on the high road, and there is no doubt in my mind that we would have been viewed as the nation to become a part of, because we were actually taking the stand on liberty, not just emancipating people, but we actually went and were willing to die for the liberty of all. Now, I hate to say this, but we did fail our Native Americans, our the Indian inhabitants of the United States. We have yet to fix that problem. We never followed the framers' intent of incorporating them. That was Washington's intent. That was Jefferson's intent. That was our intent. Now, Adams thought that they were heathens and basically, you know, didn't do much with them. He didn't embrace Washington and Jefferson's views. He was a Puritan. He saw them as heathens and didn't want to have anything to do with them. And as a matter of fact, he didn't want to have anything to do with a lot of the other colonies, but because he was a leader at the time, he sucked it up and accepted, you know, the inferior religious worship of the other states. He was a hardcore Puritan. Read his writings. I mean, this man had his biases. Anyway, let me just move into this. So he addresses this, fellow citizens of the Senate and House of Representatives. See, this was not an address to the United States. This was not an address to the American people. This was strictly an address between the president and the Congress, period, the whole body of Congress. Meeting you in new Congress, I deem it proper to present this view of public affairs in greater detail than might otherwise be necessary. I do it, however, with particular satisfaction from a knowledge that in this respect I shall comply more fully with the sound principles of our government. Now, obviously I ran out of time, so in our next episode I'm just going to dive straight into this. You know, obviously after the obligatories, but I wanted to do a good monologue to help set the tone. We have to be bold, we have to be aggressive, and we can't be nice anymore, friends. We're losing time. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.